This is K20 Innovates, an ecosystem of live podcasts focused on innovation and education. You are listening to Design Diary with Kylie Burritt, a series focused on sharing the best design practices and insights for teaching engineering design in the education space. Join me each month as we talk about design trends and review innovative projects with amazing teachers, students, and industry professionals. And this month, I am very happy to be chatting with Marianne Power. Marianne is an award-winning innovator, clinical psychologist, speaker, and leadership consultant whose impact and research centers around the question of what makes for a meaningful life. She is also the co-founder of the Posify Group, a socially conscious education company equipping the next gen with a sense of purpose and the human capability skills they will need to thrive in a rapidly changing world and workforce. Oh, mind blown. Wow. My goodness. And can I also start by saying congratulations, like a huge congratulations, because we are so fortunate to be able to speak with Marianne today. She, founded organization, the Posify Academy, has been awarded the 2021 Top Innovation Prize in the World Class Education Challenge by Deloitte and the World Economic Forum. Marianne, how does that feel, having all that read out and realizing that I am talking about you? This is a remarkable achievement as a designer and as a busy professional, and I know you're also a mum. So, yeah, welcome. We're so glad to have you.
Oh, thank you, Kylie. That's very generous of you. And yeah, it's funny when you hear your journey sort of read back to you, it's a little bit of a moment of, yeah, I can take stock and be really proud of the work that we've done. I'm not sure that I can take credit for all of it though. In fact, I can't. It's definitely taken a big team effort, and I have to say thank you to collaborators like yourself as well, because without our tribe and without people around us, really informing what we're doing, then we wouldn't have the solution that we have today. So it feels pretty good though, I must admit. It's a good way to end the year.
This is so great. Now, when you say us, let everybody in. So what I love about the us part of this is that you're a clinical psychologist and you founded this with your sister, who is a teacher. Can you tell me a little bit about the project and what ignited that spark between the two of you to come together to make this program and this academy? So if you could just start sort of opening up the doors of the academy, what is it? What has inspired you to unite with your sister?
Oh, well, her being born was a pretty good start. I think it gave us a bit of a kick. I must say though, for anyone in the psychology or health field who is listening, I'm so close to that clinical psychologist title, but I'm currently a clinical psychology registrar, which is just a little bit of a differentiation for anybody who's in the field and wondering. What started it? So look, Jen and I have threatened to be in business with one another. We've been in impact with one another for a very long time. Since we were little, we were creating lemonade stalls together to raise funds for whatever was going on at the time. And as we grew older, I remember one of the first big projects we took on together was, I was 21, she was 18, and the tsunami had hit over in Thailand. And we were in Port Macquarie at the time, and we were really struck by this idea of feeling a little bit helpless and feeling like we couldn't do anything. And of course, this was pre-Instagram, pre-Facebook, pre-social media. But within 5 days, we pulled together an incredible community fundraiser and raised $11,500 that we gave over to the local charity Salvation Army here to directly reach tsunami victims and their families. And it was probably the first time that we sort of sat back and looked at one another and we went, wow, we've actually got a really complementary skill set and strength set, and we're quite united in our sense of purpose and our desire to make sure that there are equal opportunities in the world for people and to give in whatever way that we could. So we went on to our own different journeys. I at the time was studying acting and was doing a lot of presenting work, and Jenna was, oh gosh, I know she's a teacher now and careers advisor now, but gee, that girl actually lives and breathes what we talk about, which is wayfinding with your careers. She's had, I think last count, 26 different jobs, and she's only 36 herself. So, and they're across, I think she said, 8 different industries. So she really does bring a wealth of industry experience, as well as, of course, her education background. But it was when I was studying my honours, actually. So yes, clinical psychology is my formal training in terms of I guess, that human behaviour sciences. But my particular interest is in positive psychology and how the two intersect. So I was studying transformational conferences and what they do for igniting purpose within young people, because we know purpose is a part of becoming older and recognising the idea that, yes, we all have our own individual strengths and skills and values, but actually without that sense of service to other people, we can have real impact on our well-being. So it's always been a fascination of mine of how do people uncover their own purpose and how do they use that to live really meaningful lives. So I was bearing away with my research and really unpacking a lot of the qualitative grounded research theory that I was doing. And at the same time, Jenna was noticing in her classroom while she was teaching that a lot of her kids were really disengaged. And it was when we came out of the conference and out of the research, we were just sitting down together and having a bit of a chat about, you know, what is it about young people and how can we accelerate, if you like, their journey to uncovering purpose? Because we could see the kids that did were the ones that were going on to quickly identify opportunities that that helped them to flourish. So I was expressing frustration at the same time in my psychology practice. I was working one-to-one with kids and seeing incredible impact when sharing these scientific strategies that we know work in terms of taking a young person from, you know, really what we would call, I guess, languishing or not doing so well, into then doing well and moving towards flourishing. So I started to ask the design question, you know, like, how might we start to scale some of these scientific strategies? And she was asking the design question, well, how might I engage a classroom of 30-something kids who have all got a different layer of backgrounds? And it was in kind of asking those two questions together that we really took the seed of what is now the Positify Group and the Positify Academy, but was then my plot, and decided that we wanted to try and scale well-being. So to your point of what is the Positify Academy, because it's kind of come a long way since then, where we used to be, I guess, a face-to-face almost consulting and train-the-trainer organization that would go into schools and help them to understand the science of well-being and how they can really share it with their young people and infuse more meaning and purpose in the classroom. COVID's struck, and a lot of the programs that we were doing, in addition to recognizing that well-being was not quite enough of the piece, we were seeing that if we wanted to have a big impact, we needed to go online to reach the kids at a time that they really needed us. So being a research-based thought leadership group as well, we started recognizing that there was a real intersection between not just kids languishing and their well-being outcomes, but actually that was really linked with a growing anxiety around what the future world and future workforce was looking like, and that that the huge amounts of anxiety that was increasing in young people was, you know, 2/3 of kids were reporting that it had to do with this level of uncertainty about what the future looked like and what their paths after school were. So Jen then put her career counselling hat on and we dove into the literature around transferable skills and saw such an incredible overlap between what we were learning in neuroscience, the human behaviour sciences, my knowledge in positive psychology and her knowledge in career development theory, that the Positify Academy emerged. So it's now an online platform that's student-led, so it's completely hands-off from teachers. That was one of the things that came out of our pilot, which we can speak to if you're interested, last year. And kids really get to navigate their way through all the three dimensions of what makes for meaningful living to learn what we know and the future skills, creativity, collaboration, critical thinking, problem solving, resilience, which I personally don't like that term, but for a lot of people it's that, it's quite familiar. I like to think of it as resourcefulness and agility, and yeah, create what we call a Positify portfolio that they leave with a new kind of CV that really speaks to the impact that they want to create in the world. So, gosh, it's, that sounds like amazing. A very long story, no, but it feels like a short one.
I really feel
for the
like
journey that has been where we've become as a couple of little kids with a lemonade stall to where we're at now, designing incredible things online and reaching so many kids, which is fun.
Look, I think what you've said a few things there that have really struck a chord with me, but particularly the use of the word
purpose.
Can
you still hear me okay, Kylie? I can see you're on mute in Clubhouse. Oh,
there sorry, she is. Yes. what I was saying is that I find it really interesting, your use of the word purpose, and how I take that is that really purpose is the glue that is sticking all of that together in terms of the critical and creative thinking. So why do we want to think creatively or critical about this? And why do we want to collaborate? Well, at the heart of it, there has to be some level of connection around a shared purpose. So I really love the way that you talk about the purpose and the importance of it and helping students find meaning. It's a really wicked problem to solve, in terms of connecting our students with that sense of purpose to really, buffer the rise of anxiety and mental health issues that certainly have skyrocketed during the last 2 years. So congratulations. What an epic journey. Really special that you get to share it with your sister. What I particularly like about what you've done in this space, I mean, not only is it evidence-based, I mean, the science behind it is just amazing, you know, it's just incredible. It's student-led. It's focusing on a future. But you've actually created an opportunity here that links throughout the K to 12. So what I kind of liked was it wasn't just an approach that was dropped in towards the end of school and career transitions into what you talk about in terms of advanced manufacturing and, you know, the whole STEM skill set that we want our students to have. But your program actually starts way back in the primary years. So do you just want to tell us about that scope of how you managed to design the consistency through the program so that you're servicing these different ages and what is the focus at each stage there that you find that is so meaningful to students in your program?
Yeah, they're all really good questions. I'll circle back though, because I heard you say earlier that, you know, it's a wicked problem with purpose and connecting young people. And it is, in the sense that we know that there's a large number of kids these days who are reporting that they are feeling disconnected to their passion and their purpose. And at the same time, we also know that if we can give young people the opportunity to explore the things that light them up and the things that matter the most to them, so through the science of meaning, that actually it's a real intrinsic human drive that we can use as a lifelong learning tool to help kids kind of access that motivation within them instead of having to extrinsically motivate them. And in terms of how that shows up for kids, and to your point of really taking them on the journey, so we do start with young people in their early formative teen years. So, and this is all based on, I guess, child development theory, in the sense that little people we know at the age of five who currently not working programs with, but would very much influenced by the research around the idea that kids are informed by stereotypes of careers from as early as five. Having a look around their social and developmental influences, the different cultures, the socioeconomic factors that they believe that they can fit within. And we find that a little bit alarming. So we've come in at age 10, so 10 and 11, where we start to really open up the minds, because we know at that age, from a developmental perspective, that kids are starting to look outside of their internal experiences just within their own families and smaller circles, and ask that bigger question of, well, what else is available out there in the world? So by 12, the Posify Academy kicks in, 12 to 14, and looks at that developmental question of, well, who am I? So what is that sense of self? So what's my integrated identity? We use the three pillars of meaning, like I was mentioning. So that's the from Matella and Steger, if anyone's interested in the research. So that's the idea of, you know, what matters most to me, my heart, and then how do I make a story of that, or what we would say coherence. So what's the narrative that I tell myself, where all those communication skills kick in? And then, to your point, that purpose piece, which is the goal setting, which I think is, as you were observing, the piece that can pull it all together. So Posify is really looking at that idea in the younger years of, well, who am I and how does that map to the service that I want to make on the world? As we move up the ladder towards kids, as they're entering into year 9 and year 10, the next part of the trilogy series, which we're launching next year, we've piloted already, is Futurefy. And that looks at the question of, okay, well, now that I know who I am and what my skills, my strengths, and my values are, and I'm developing these future skills to be able to communicate them to others as well and demonstrate my strengths and find other people who match my complementary states, well, what's the rest of the world about? So we help the kids to understand at a deeper level what the sustainable development goals are. We teach them skills from design D-School at Stanford, for example, like informational interviewing, so that they appreciate that the jobs of the future that still haven't been created yet are actually in their hands to be able to co-design themselves. So it's far more, I guess, communication, collaboration-based Futurefy, but really looking at that question of, you know, how can I take what I have and then position it in the world to start driving an impact and take my next best step? So more formal career development, I guess, in a traditional sense. And then Unify, which jumps up to 17 to 22-year-olds, is helping to close that gap between education and industry. So in our research and conversation with industry, we were hearing that even today's, you know, the top employers today are still acknowledging that even our most talented kids are coming into industry without, yes, they've got the technical skills and the IQ, but they're coming without those human capabilities and the emotional intelligence and that agility to be able to pivot and twist and co-design these big solutions. So we really put the challenge and the call to industry to extend their pipeline down and meet the kids where they're at. So rather than, I guess, a traditional mentor or a peer that puts the onus on that one-to-one relationship, Unify allows us to provide that explicit content that, as you mentioned, is mapped into a CAR and what we call the Australian curriculum, but also to give industry a direct opportunity to make an influence on these young people and show them, because we know the power of role modeling, show them how these ideas on paper are actually translating into the workforce. So the kids can really get that coherence piece that I spoke to earlier in the meaning making sense. They can see those patterns of what their own unique potential is and how it might map into contributing to designing some of the big solutions that are now happening in our future workforce.
It's really significant to actually help them, I guess, develop that mindset about themselves and then being able to visualize, like see themselves in that space in industry. Or what that might look like. I think if you can't see it, you can't be it, right?
That's right.
And we're talking about, creating these jobs of the future, being a co-creator is such a powerful way to look at that. I know ourselves in one of our last design projects during COVID, we were working with a large industry called Pfizer and another one, Amp Control. Most people will be familiar with Pfizer because of their the vaccine.
Amazing.
But what we were finding is the students, university students, were being placed in these companies, and the university students were then making educational resources linked to projects within the company that they were then mentoring and implementing back in high school, which was an incredible process. So the company actually paid for the resources to be created, co-created with that work experience person, and that work experience then got to pass that mentoring back to the students in school. And it was just a really lovely all-round process. It was just really tight, and I found that students immediately, once that, like, the age gap and I guess the process of the industry being out there somewhere and not related back to me in high school had been removed, it was a very different conversation. And they actually saw themselves in that role, working in that role right now instead of in the future. So yeah, I think what you've done here by creating that approach, I guess, what did you call it, the trilogy?
Yeah, the trilogy series, from Positify to Futurefy to Unify.
Yeah, I think that's really important, and ways that we can potentially mentor and link through that trilogy all the way to you know, through university and then into industry. It's like you were saying, it's pathfinding, isn't it? It's finding that path and being able to be on it, but then allowing students to be able to identify industries and peoples potentially that they can see themselves working with. You know, not just getting dumped out at the other end and then, you know, good luck.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what you were saying, Kylie, as well, and it's what we help young people to understand, and adults as well, is that actually there's a lot of power and strength in terms of learning and education where we're going in the future around intergenerational learning. I've been really fortunate to work with some of our education leaders like Jan Owen, who are starting to disrupt this idea that, you know, the teacher is the person at the front of the classroom who just teaches a set curriculum. And of course, there are explicit content that we need to move our way through. And it's not to take away from the role of teacher at all. But certainly there's a greater appreciation now that the teacher's greatest power is in their incredible willingness and ability and connectedness to be a guide by the side as young people really explore their own learning pathways and start to co-create what the future of learning looks like together. So I'd say intergenerational learning is certainly something that's influenced us, as well as that reverse mentoring. So you spoke to the idea of, yeah, on the one hand, the kids are of course learning from the adults, but we often find that when we go back to industry, and it's funny because some of where this research started was back in my acting days, and I had this crazy idea when I was producing. I was working with a bunch of very famous actors at Belvoir Street and producing a show at the time, View of Concrete, and simultaneously I was volunteering my time at Oasis with the Salvation Army with Youth at Risk. And I had this wild idea of what would it look like to put these youth at risk with the actors, knowing that, imagining that would be a really incredible experience for the young people, but also having a bit of a guess. You know, if anybody knows the entertainment industry, there's a few egos involved. And I thought, you know, what a humbling experience for these actors to do something really meaningful. And what we found out of that process and the core research that we collected at the time was that, yeah, of course, it made a major mark on the young person's life, but in terms of the actors, they were the ones that actually reported those greater meaning markers. And I think that speaks a lot to what we're doing now with industry and young people and of course teachers as well, is that, yeah, the young people, of course, are learning that, and they're keen to learn, and they're really interested. And in reverse, it helps our leaders in industry to really to keep their the finger on the pulse in terms of what the latest trends are, how our young people are thinking, how they're seeing the world a bit differently, the questions they're asking, that sense of curiosity. I mean, if you want a solution to some of our world's greatest problems, get a young person in the room who hasn't quite got all of the, you know, the strict blindness that we develop as adults and the, well, that can't happen, and that, you know, that more rigid thinking that we tend to develop as we get older. What I love about it is that it's just mutually beneficial, and it gets back to that idea of really, you know, that every child needs a village around them.
It's absolutely beautiful, and what an incredible village. And it's online. It is a bit more like a choose your own adventure. So the students, when they're engaging with the Posify Academy, I believe can look at different activities related to those core chapters, which you talk about, which is my heart and my story, and of course, developing their impact and looking at their strengths and weaknesses, all those types of things. So for them, really, they get to take ownership over that journey. It's not just a sequential set of check boxes that need to be ticked.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love that. In the whole design of it, like actually looking at what they need and how they'll engage. The science that you've outlined is so phenomenal, and I can totally see why you've taken the top innovation prize for the World Class Education Forum. This is a significant amount of work that has taken you many years. You know, we're seeing a final product now, but, you know, often that's something that we talk about. It's the depth of knowledge behind these award-winning designs. They don't happen overnight. They do take time and an incredible amount of research. So congratulations. It's quite phenomenal. Can I ask you, just before we wrap up for the half hour, just two really quick questions? So One is, what was it like with your sister going from that clinical psychology space to being a UX designer and creating a site map? I just would love to know even one word, because I think that is fascinating. What an amazing transition. So, hit me with it.
I would say one word that's combined into mind-blowing. but quickly, to your point of design, I said at the top that I can't take the credit for this. And yes, the Choose Your Own Adventure for the Posify Academy is there. But I mentioned earlier that it comes off the back of a pilot last year of what was called the Purpose Passport. And what you see today on the Posify Academy is the outcome, if you like, of the feedback that we got from the kids that we worked with who helped to co-design. So it was them who said, hang on a second, if you're encouraging us to think about, you know, that careers are no longer linear, and that actually this is all about wayfinding and taking our next best step, then why are we being forced through a learner management system that tells us that we have to go from one to the next, to the next, to the next? We want something that we can jump in and really create to be our own. So when I say that this is, you know, the credit is just not to us, it's to the kids that we worked with who shared their big ideas and their big voices. And again, to that mind-blowing experience, that's why, you know, user design is all about going and understanding what people want and what they need and how you can design a solution that really meets them for their learning adventures. So I hope we've captured that. We're hearing that we are, but yeah, that's
absolutely,
that's the goal.
The insight that you have been able to have by having that co-design experience with your end user is incredibly powerful. And I cannot stress that enough, like that, you know, that iteration process and taking feedback and, you know, creating multiple prototypes is so incredibly important for the success of the project. And of course, our users using it, because that's obviously, you know, your purpose is helping them find purpose.
Yeah.
Just to finish off, can I please just ask you how people actually access the Posify Academy, what Deloitte and the World Economic Forum have contributed for anybody interested? It would be great if you could just let me know. That would be fabulous.
Of course. Anybody can jump in and check it out. Best way to find us would be on our website, so theposifygroup.com.au. And if you do a when you come onto the page, you'll see right up the top that we've got our programs. You'll see our services. Posify Academy is the first one there, but otherwise theposifygroup.com.au/Posify-Academy. And you'll notice that there's a link there for student scholarships. And what Deloitte and the World Economic Forum have afforded us is the ability to get the platform to a point where we can gift a significant number of scholarships to financially disadvantaged students. So we are hot on the mission of identifying students who are really excited about the program, but for financial reasons may not otherwise access it. Having said that, one of the exciting things about the platform is that it is...
Oh, we've just lost you, Marianne.
Can you still...
I've just lost you for a second then.
Are we back in? Yeah.
And we are, and you just were finishing up about the Deloitte scholarships. Now, is that available internationally, or is that only available to Australian students?
Yeah, good question. Globally. So,
our audience is global here. So, can we just have a high five? We've got a wrap. I could talk to you all day. I know we started a minute or two late, but hang on a second. I need to put a notice at the beginning that we need to be like Oprah, giving away scholarships and this incredible award-winning tool. So, yes, to that, can I please get you to forward some information so I can provide it to the K20 Innovate community, who would be, I'm sure, immensely grateful for any opportunity that is available to our very, I guess, needy and vulnerable students who may not otherwise have access to this service.
And we would love to hear from them, so please do. Thank you so much, Kylie. It's been really cool talking to you today.
Oh, I could just keep going. I just listened to you. But thank you so much. And thank you to everyone that has listened. We can't wait to talk to you next month, where we'll be discussing more design trends and innovative projects for the education space. Thanks so much again, Marianne.
You're welcome.
Lovely to talk to you.
See you soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye.